Well, if you would, go ahead and pull out your message notes. They're in your bulletin. We're going to continue our series called 10 Practices of Effective Families. We've been talking about what are the ways that we can grow with our immediate family. And we've been looking at these things that are traditionally called 10 commandments, but really they're 10 practices in asking those questions. 2 weeks ago, we talked about identifying and repenting of our idols by eliminating the competition and focusing solely on Jesus. Last week, we talked about how we see God and how sometimes we make either mental or physical representations of God, but those actually distract us from God. And if you really want to learn what God looks like, the image of God, we focus on Jesus, his son, who is the image of the invisible God. Now, last 2 weeks and this week, we're in a four-part series talking about what does it mean to love God in these practices. And 2 weeks, we're going to transition to how to love people. In fact, if you look in the back of your bulletin, we separate a little bit. These first 4 weeks about loving God, and the last 6 weeks are going to be about loving people. These are practices that will help your family become more effective and more connected with God. So, last week we talked about how we see God. This week we want to talk about something that's very surprising. It made the top three practices, and it's how we talk about God. Last week was how we see God. This week is how we use our language and our speech, and we talk about God. And I want to say from the start that in your family, the way you use God's name will set the bar for how much your family takes God seriously. The way you use God's name in your everyday language will set the bar, will set the tone for how your family loves God. So look in your outline, and I'm going to read this practice out loud from Exodus 27. It says this: "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord." Now, isn't it strange that God gave these 10 practices, and number 3 is how you use God's name? I mean, I would put that as maybe number 11. You know, there's some really important things about being effective, but God puts it as number 3. So it begs the question is, what's the big deal about a name? What's so big that God would put this as such an important thing? Well, this became true to me, or a little more real to me, when I got married. There's a Middle Eastern dish, an eggplant dish called baba ganoush. Have you guys had that, baba ganoush? I actually don't like eggplant that much, so I don't eat it. But I love the word, baba ganoush. Isn't that great? It just like rolls. Let's say it together. Ready? Baba ganoush. It just rolls off the tongue. And so when I got married, I said, "Becky, I would love to name our first son baba ganoush. Please let us name our baba." And she goes, "Why?" I'm like, "I love the word, and it rhymes with my last name, baba ganoush fanoush." And so she would just roll her eyes at me. I didn't understand. I'm like, "Baba ganoush, that's a weird name. I'm like, we can call him Bob for short. Come on, sweetie, please." It just never happened. So we named him Nathan. But you know, the reality is that names do matter, don't they? They really do. In fact, your name represents your reputation, your character, and your authority. Your name represents your character, your reputation, and your authority. I want to talk about some of that. Let's talk about your name representing your reputation. You hear people sometimes say, "He's making a name for himself." You guys heard that phrase? Yeah, it's like he's doing something or she's doing something so that when you hear that person's name, it becomes positive. It's good. It becomes trustworthy. And people, especially in business, are trying to build a name for themselves. They want their name to be associated with something good because they want their reputation to be good. In fact, if you step back and think of some names, names do carry reputations. Let me shout out a few. Mother Teresa. O.J. Simpson. Michael Jordan. John Kennedy. Hitler. Abraham Lincoln. With each of these names, you have a reputation that automatically gets attached to the name. Your name represents your reputation. Do you guys know the story about Lucky Supermarket? Do you guys remember Lucky? It's back again. Lucky was called the low price leader. It was a grocery store called the low price leader. They got bought out by Albertsons around 1998, and Albertsons decided to retire the Lucky name. So you don't see Lucky's as much anymore. Well, 6 or so years later, Grocery Outlet, a totally another brand, said, you know what, there is a really good reputation with the Lucky brand, and Albertsons no longer uses it. They retired it. So they began to name some of their stores Lucky, because they knew it would draw more customers. Now, what happened is Albertsons got really upset, so they started naming some of their stores Lucky again, and they sued Grocery Outlet and won. So, basically, these two huge companies are fighting over a name because it carries a reputation. There's power in names, your reputation. How many of you guys know the company Philip Morris? Tobacco company. How come you haven't heard their name anymore recently? They changed it. There was so much flack that, you know, that they were not only selling tobacco or cigarettes to youth, but they knew it was addictive. They got so much bad reputation attached to that name. They still exist, no change other than their name. Their name now is Altria. That means nothing to me, but it doesn't mean it's not Philip Morris anymore. Because with a name comes reputation. Make sense? How about this? Skippy peanut butter. Now, if you look at any brand, you'll look, and right next to it, really small, there's a little R with a circle around it. That means it's a registered trademark, which means you can't go start a company and use this name because they don't want you to steal their reputation. Most products have that on there. They copyright their name. Your name carries your reputation. Companies have quality assurance departments to make sure that their product lives up to their name. It's interesting that when Psalm 23, one of the most popular psalms, it says, "He will guide me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, for his reputation. He will guide me." Your name represents your reputation. How about this? Your name represents your character. In the Bible times, people would often name their kids based on a perceived character trait. So Esau, where Esau and Jacob were twins who were born, Esau came out, and this kid had lots of hair. Have you seen some of those kids? Lots of hair. So his mom named him Harry. Jacob means hairy one. Esau means hairy one. And so named him, you know, after that. And it ends up that Esau is this man of a man, hunter, gruff guy. He's like hairy in character, too. I mean, he's out there hunting, and that's Esau's character. Twin brother, Jacob, he comes out and he's holding on to his little brother's heel. He wants to be first. And so mom names him Jacob, which means he holds on to a heel. It also means he's a deceiver. It ends up that Jacob was a deceiver for most of his life. He was always fooling people. That people's character were attached to their names. But get this, when God came into people's lives, he would meet them right where they were. He would change them and often give them a new name. He would change their name because their character had changed. Abram, his name, he was born with Abram. It meant exalted father. But when God got hold of him, he said, no, you're going to be a father of many nations. Your name is Abraham now. It means father of many. Jacob, the deceiver, God says, no, now you're Israel. That means you're going to be struggling with me, you and your descendants, the rest of your life, in a good and bad way, but you're going to have a relationship with me. Simon, Jesus' main disciple, he named him Peter, which means the rock. He said, Peter, I'm going to build my church on you. You're going to be the rock. And so our names carry reputation as well, or character as well. How about this? Your name represents your authority. If you were running down a street, you hear someone behind you and say, stop, in the name of the... And it's blank. If they say, police, God willing, you'll stop. If someone yells, stop, in the name of Mickey Mouse. Who cares? I don't stop. If you're having dinner and you know that someone calls you as a salesperson, you're probably not going to answer the phone. But if you know it's your congressperson or some world leader, you'll stop and pick it up. Or your pastor. Because people, your name carries authority. So your name is actually really important. So when God says don't misuse your name, he's talking about something, his name, he's talking about something very important. So I want to talk about what does it mean to misuse the name of God? The word misuse in the Bible actually means lifting up God's name emptily. Some of your Bible versions will say using God's name in vain, but it means to use God's name in an empty way. It's like you're carrying a bucket of water, but you get to your destination, you look in, and it's empty. You're using something in an empty and meaningless way. An example, a couple months ago, I heard the awful news, and my mom called me that my grandmother is about to die. She's still alive, believe it or not, even though it's been a couple months. But at the time, we thought she only had a few weeks to live. And so I made quick reservations to fly into Albuquerque, where she was, to spend the day with her and say my last goodbyes. And I got there, I got to spend great time with her, and we just began to share memories of my younger years and her younger years, too. And she was the kind of grandma, when she'd come visit us, right when it's time to go to bed, she'd say, "John, come to my room." You know, the lights are off, I go, and she hands me a Kit Kat, you know, chocolate bar, and I go back, and it was a secret my mom never knew. You know, it was just one of those things. This was a grandma who just loved me. She loved God. You know, we joke that whenever she writes me a birthday card, it's like she wrote a book of the Bible. She, I mean, it is like theologically, I mean, it's just amazing. She's a writer, and she loves God, and she passed on that faith to me. When I was about 8 or 9, I was visiting her in New Jersey where she lived, and she said, "You know, Johnny, she called me Johnny, I shouldn't have told you guys that." She said, "You know, John, you know, do you have a Bible yet?" I'm like, "Yeah, I have a Bible, but it's a kid's Bible." She said, "Would you like an adult Bible?" I said, "Yeah." And she took this really seriously. She invited someone from her church to come to our house and interview me about what kind of Bible I wanted. He gave me all these options, all these colors, and how do you want your name engraved? Do you want your grandma and grandpa's name on? I mean, it was just this really serious thing. So he left a few days later. He came back and gave me this amazing, amazing Bible. And I cherished that. It was from my grandma. A Bible from my grandma. Now, can you imagine if she were to come over to my house and say, "Hey, John, where did you put your Bible?" And I said, "Oh, it's over there. I use it as a doorstop." Wouldn't that be a shame? Because I'd be using something very important in a very empty way. And we can do the exact same thing with God's name. Something incredibly important. And use it in a vain, an empty way. To take God's name in vain means to use God's name in a careless or flippant manner. It means to treat his name with no more respect than any other word in the English dictionary. So what I want to do the remaining of our time is to talk about, how do I use God's name correctly? How do I use it the way God wants me to use it? So we're going to talk about three different ways that you and I can use God's name correctly. The first is this: use God's name seriously. Use God's name seriously. There's different ways we can do this. One is using God seriously in your language, in your everyday language. Now, this is one that many of us fail and fall into a trap. It's when you use God's name as a convenient expression of fear, of anger, of joy, of amazement, or surprise. You know, "I just went fishing. I caught a 10-pound fish. My God!" Or, "Oh, my sister got pregnant. Oh, Jesus." Or, "I really need to go to the bathroom. Oh, God." But we begin to use God's name, and we're reducing it to something like, "Wow, awesome, great." It's like we begin to use God's name as an exclamation mark. And that is using God's name in a very, very empty way. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, the first thing he said is, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name." That word "hallowed" means to make holy, to treat it with respect. He's saying, let us treat God's name with holiness, with respect. Let us all do that together. God, we will use your name in a way that is honoring and reflects who you are. God says that when you use his name, use it seriously. Don't use it flippantly. Okay, I want to take it one more level. You guys ready for this? I looked up in the dictionary the words "gosh" and "golly." They're just substitutes for the word "God" if you look in the dictionary. So even those kinds of things we need, but "geez," short for Jesus. So even those kinds of things have their roots in using God's name in a flippant way. You know, speaking, we might as well broaden the thing. Whenever we talk about any spiritual concept that is serious in a flippant way, it's wrong. When we say heaven yes or hell no, we're taking two concepts that have lots of seriousness in them and using them flippantly, and we begin to take away the meaning of what they mean. Does that make sense? The way you use these words begins to affect your heart. You end up taking a spiritual truth and using it without a thought. How about in our worship, how we use God's name? We need to use God's name seriously in our worship. You can take the Lord's name emptily while you worship. You can misuse God's name even here in church. I mean, how many of you, and I myself include, have sung a worship song not paying attention to the words at all and just kind of going through the motions because our mind is on something else? You know, we're singing about God's name, about Jesus, and we're using it emptily. And so it makes sense for us to really pay attention to what we're singing in worship because we are using God's name. We want to use it seriously. The Lord says in Isaiah 29:13, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. So one way to use God's name seriously when we worship is to pay attention to what we're singing, the actual words, and mean it, because that's a way to honor his name. Another way we can use God's name seriously is in our prayers. Have you ever used God's name as a filler while you pray? Have you ever heard a prayer like this? Dear Jesus, we just want to thank you, God, for the nice day, dear Lord, and the way you're taking care of us, God, for all you do, Lord. You guys heard that before? It's like you begin to use God's name as a comma. You're using the word God's name like every other. You know, if my kid came up to me and talked to me like that, I would think he was smoking. I mean, dear Daddy, thank you for playing with me, Daddy, and for feeding me, Daddy, and for giving me money to spend on everything. Thank you, Daddy. I love you, Daddy. I think you just have to say Daddy once. I understand. But I think what happens is when we pray, we don't know what to pray next, and so we have these pauses, and we use God's name as a filler. But you know what? It's okay to pause in your prayers. God can handle silence because we want to use his name seriously. Now, if you are using God's name seriously when you do that, that's okay. But the point is, we don't want to use God's name in a flippant way that doesn't take the seriousness of his name correctly. Does that make sense? Jesus even says that when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. This is, you know, God makes this number three commandment. I just want to say how serious this is. It's in the top 10 practices. Number three is do not misuse my name. And so we're talking about something very serious here. Now, in Leviticus 24, God took this so seriously that when people began to misuse his name intentionally, they were put to death. It was that serious in the early community of God. Now, we don't live in that age anymore. God has taken that for us. But it represents how seriously God took this. So don't kid yourself. This is actually serious business. God is saying, my name is being abused and misused, and it's not appropriate. You know, if you're going to need to use a name to be excited, don't use God's name. Use someone else's. Use your husband's or wife's. Use some other spiritual. Say, oh, Buddha. Say someone. But don't use God's name. We don't want to misuse it. There's power in Jesus' name. You know, whenever I'm in a conversation with people who don't know Jesus, and I bring up Jesus' name just has power. You feel it. And God wants you to live up to that name. He's saying, don't mess with my name. It's my reputation. It's my character. It's my authority. We don't laugh at people who use that either. Use it seriously. Now, the big question is, what happens if our friends and family are using God's name in a vain or empty way? What if they're not taking God's name seriously? What do you do? Now, you know, I've been working on this sermon all week, and you know when you work on something, you begin to think of something, and I just realized everyone uses God's name all the time in a vain way. And I didn't realize it until I stopped and just listened to people's speech. I'm playing soccer, and my kids are playing soccer. All the parents are going, God, please, you know, they're just yelling God's name, not meaning it at all. So if you begin to pay attention to your language and other people's, you're going to notice that God's name is misused everywhere. So what do? Most of us will just ignore it. Say, oh well, that's them. But I want to encourage you, and this is just for close friends. Obviously you can't do this with everybody. But if your close friend or family is misusing God's name, I would say in the most gentle, loving way, let them know that you prefer that they don't. You're not trying to condemn them. You're trying to bring them in. You want to bring them in to God's holiness. But, you know, if your friend or family member was using your spouse's name like that, or your kid's name like that, you would be saying something. You would stop and say, you know what? Please don't use my spouse's name that way. Please don't use my kid's name that way. And here we're talking about God, and we're much rather ignore it or laugh at it. But God is saying, take my name seriously. And so I encourage you, if you have close friends and family, then talk to them about that and say, you know what? God's name needs to be taken seriously. Around me, I prefer that you don't speak that way. Amen?
Amen.
Second way we can use God's name correctly is to use God's name truthfully. Truthfully. We want to use God's name to tell the truth and not to lie. This week, I was hanging out with my little boy, Eli, and we were playing in a room, and I hear my older boy, Nathan, in another room yelling, "Eli, Mom is calling you!" And Eli's like, "Oh, I don't want to go." "Eli, Mom's calling you, go." And it's like, "It's okay," and he walks over. And as he's walking the hallway to go see my wife, Nathan starts laughing. He goes, "I was just joking, Mom didn't call you." And he was just having a good old time. But he realized, you know, he used my wife's name deceitfully, right? He used her name, her authority, to ask my younger son to do something that he would have never done on his own. Now, that's a kid thing, but we do that as adults sometimes. Sometimes you hear people use God's name to get other people to do things when God never said in the first place. "Hey, God told me to tell you this, but really it was your opinion, and you just wanted to add some authority to it." Yeah. Or, "God, you know, spoke to me about this, but really you just want to do it, and you're trying to add God's name to it." Sometimes we use God's names deceitfully to justify our actions or to get other people to do something we want them to do. You know, in our world, we call that forgery. You know, when you use fake someone else's name to get their authority, that's called forgery. You know, and it's not right. You see this with TV evangelists. "God told you to do this. God told you to do this. Give me $1,000 and everything will be okay." We want to use God's name truthfully. Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father is who is in heaven." It's not just those who use God's name, but it's those who follow God as well. And I just want to say, and not to get politically sensitive here, but world leaders do this too. Not just our country, but all world leaders, they will appeal to the religion of their day and use God's name to justify a policy. And so we just need to be careful that just because a world leader says, "My God told me to do this," you don't always know that. But we don't want to use God's name deceitfully. Another way we sometimes do this, especially if we're insecure about our faith, is sometimes we use God's name to impress other people. You know, sometimes when we want to prove how spiritual we are, we like to use God's name a lot. It's funny for me being a pastor, you know, I'll go out to a cafe or store and meet someone and get into a great conversation, you know. And I love getting into conversations with people. They'll be sitting with me and they'll be cussing up a storm because they don't know I'm a pastor, right? You know, bleep that, bleep that, bleep that. I'm just loving them. And then it finally comes around to, "What do you do for a living?" And I say, "Well, I'm a pastor." And I can see their heads working. They're thinking, "I can't cuss. I just lost half of my vocabulary. What am I going to say to this guy?" And so they begin to fill it in with all these religious terms. "Well, praise God." And they'll just go off, "Jesus, I just love it." And they'll just go off with all these spiritual terms because they're just insecure and trying to impress me. And I think, you don't have to do that. And God, you don't have to do it with God either. Don't use his name to fill in an insecurity. You know, sometimes people will come up to me and just talk, and God's name is used, like, "Great pastor, great sermon, pastor. Oh, you are blessed by God. God." And obviously, if it's sincere, thank you. But sometimes it comes out of insecurity. And we don't want to use God's name in that way. It doesn't impress God, but your lifestyle does impress God. People could be using God's name to impress their friends with their spirituality, but really what counts is how you're living. Do your actions prove it? Titus 1:16 says, "They claim to know God, but by their actions they deny him." We sometimes take God's name in vain. When we claim to be committed to him, we use his name as though it were a common thing in our lives, but then when it comes down to actually loving him and following him through with obedience, it doesn't follow through. If someone says, "I love the Lord, he is my God," I wonder, are you involved in some kind of ministry? Are you showing it? Are you loving people that are difficult for you to love? Do you have forgiveness in your life? Do you have spiritual disciplines of prayer? Getting to know God's word? That's impressive. But not just the ability to use God's name. Make sense? The third way is we want to use God's name hopefully. We want to use God's name hopefully. Let me just pull this up here. As I'm talking about this, how many of you begin to feel like, "Oh man, this is, you're talking about my life"? How many of you are feeling this right now? And I put myself in this. We're just, using God's name in vain. Okay, all four of you, we can talk afterwards. I know there's more of you. You know, there's a tendency to actually feel pretty guilty about this. In fact, you know, in our practice, it says, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. I want to talk about how we can use God's name hopefully. How we can use God's name hopefully. The Bible tells the story that God created you and everyone else in the world. And he created us for a relationship with him, to worship him, to put him first for intimacy, for satisfaction, for joy, for completeness, for reward, for joy. That God created you to be wired on a relationship with him. But what we did, because of our own pride, is we said, thank you, God, but I'd rather do my own thing. It's like a good parent who says, hey, let's go to Disneyland together, but stay inside the park. I don't want you to get run over. And we say, thank you, but I'd rather go outside the park. And so we go out and we do our own thing, and we worship things other than God. And what that does is it presents this chasm, this distance in our relationship with God. And we all feel it in our hearts. Pascal once said that our hearts, our souls, have a God-sized vacuum in it. That we're always trying to fill our souls with something that will satisfy, because we feel this gap between us and God. And the Bible says that for the wages of sin, the wages, the paycheck for turning away from God is death. The Bible also calls that hell. And on our own, because we have turned from God, that is where all of us are heading, on our own. Now we feel this gap and we try to do all kinds of things to fill it. Some of us will spend time in romantic relationships trying to fill that gap. We'll make a romantic relationship our idol. That's what will save me. Some of us use money to do that. Some of us use our career. Some of us use success. Some of us use people's approval of us. You can use anything to try to fill that gap. But while it may tickle for a little bit, it never gets us to the other side. We always feel that. The problem here is that we think if we just get our actions right, we'll be okay. In fact, some of you might be here today going, okay, all I need to be right, do to be right with God is use my language better. I want to use God's name better, and that will get me right. But Jesus says something very, very interesting. It's in your outline. It says, for out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Which means your problem isn't with your mouth. Your problem is with your heart. And only Jesus can change your heart. Even though we turned away from God, he loves us so much that he took the step to come to us. He sent his son Jesus to bridge that gap. And what the Bible says is though the wages, the paycheck for sin is death, Jesus took that death that we deserved onto him on the cross. That everything you've done in the past, everything you're doing right now, and everything that you will do, Jesus says, I will take it. I will take it on me. But Jesus, I didn't ask you to do that. It doesn't matter. I will take it. But Jesus, I never apologize. I will take it. Jesus, I will take that on the cross for you. All I ask is that you accept my gift. All I ask is that you accept my gift. When I first got out of college, I was in a lot of debt. And I didn't know how I was going to pay my bills. And my sister came through and says, I can loan you some money. You know what? For me to really make use of that loan, I had to say, okay, I'll take it. She was my younger sister. I had to let go of some pride. To accept God's gift, you've got to let go of some pride and say, I accept it. I did nothing to deserve this, but I will call on your name, Jesus, and accept that gift. Acts 4:12 says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other what? Name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. He's talking about Jesus. It's Jesus' name that saves us. And the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you say with your mouth that Jesus, you are king of my life. We like to say, Jesus, you are now the driver of my car. I give the steering wheel of my life over you. I am now in the passenger seat and you take over. If you say that with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. Because Jesus did not only take this, he died, but God rose him from the dead and presents him as victorious. And so that if we follow him, we too have eternal life. And we are raised with God. So we call on Jesus' name, hopefully, for our salvation. Now, some of you are right here. It may have been recently, it may have been years ago, but you made the decision to receive God's gift. You said, God, I've tried on my own, it's not working. I'm going to lay down my pride. I'm going to receive you as my Lord and Savior, my leader and forgiver. I will believe with my mouth, claim with my mouth that you're Lord. I will believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead. And you accepted that gift and you are in a relationship with God right now. And I just want to say, it's time to celebrate that and remember and say, thank you, God. There are some of you who are over here. Perhaps you've been coming to church for a while. You like what you're hearing. You've kind of been looking over this cliff and you've learned about Jesus. You kind of like what you're hearing, but you have not yet said, Jesus, I accept that gift. Jesus is saying, do you believe that I am Lord of your life? Do you believe that God raised me from the dead? If so, accept my gift. And you're standing here thinking, I'm not there yet, but I want to be over here. Is that you? There's some of you over here. And you're thinking, this is all great, and maybe one day I'll make that decision, but right now I'm over here and I'm just checking things out. As your pastor, I really believe that I'm called to pray for you. And so I want to know where you're at on your spiritual journey. And I want you to let me know so I can pray for you this week. If you trust me enough, will you just let me know, are you over here? If so, just on the back of your connection card right now, go ahead and pull it out. Put the letter A. And just say, you know, I made this decision and I'm celebrating today. Just somewhere in the blank space. Put letter A with a circle around it. Maybe you're here today and you have not made this decision to receive God's gift. You have not yet trusted him with everything. And now you're saying, I want to do that. I've been window shopping long enough. I've had Jesus as the passenger, but now I want to make him the driver. And you want to say, John, will you pray for me? Because I want to make this decision to accept Jesus as my forgiver and leader. And I want to do that today. If that's you, put the letter B with a circle around it on the back of your card. There are others of you who are saying, you know, this is all good, but I'm not ready yet. I'm just not ready. And that's okay. I appreciate your honesty. Just let me know. On the back of your card, put a C. And I promise you, if you let me know, I will pray for you this week. I take these very, very seriously. Because I want to help you wherever you're at as your pastor to take these next steps. And I want to be on your side. So let me know. About 10 minutes before I said goodbye to my grandma, I knew it was the last time I'd ever see her. Some of you have been in the situation where you know it's the last time you're going to see a beloved and you don't know what to say to them. I definitely felt that. I'm like, what do I say to my grandma, who's known me as long as I've been alive, who's invested in me, who's left a legacy for me? 10 minutes left before I have to leave and get my plane, get on my plane. So I asked everyone else in the room to leave so I can have a moment with her, not knowing what I was going to say. So I went up to her and held her hand, and the first words that came out of my mouth were, Grandma, thank you. Thank you for the way you loved me and invested in me. You practiced these things. You lived this out for me. You used God's name seriously. Whenever you wrote a letter to me, God's name was glorified. Thank you. Thank you. I started crying, and you know, my grandma, the first thing she said is, men don't cry, stop crying, you shouldn't be doing that. But then she started saying, don't cry, Johnny, I'll see you in heaven. I'll see you in heaven. It'll be soon. So I left her and said goodbye. And I thanked her for her legacy. But that legacy she left for me isn't meant to be just for her. God wants you, specifically you and your family, to leave a legacy. He wants you to live a life so it's not just about you, but affects your kids, your grandkids, your great-grandkids, so that long after you're gone, your legacy still lives on. We learned last week that those who honor and love God, God blesses your generations to the thousandth generation. So I want to plead with you right now to take the next step to leave that legacy. You might be thinking, Pastor John, what do I do now? And all I want to say is, God is showing you something in your life. What you need to do is obey the light God is giving you right now. Don't worry about 10, 15 years from now. The question is, what is God showing you right now? What are you supposed to be doing? All you need to say is, okay, God, I'll obey with what you're putting right in front of me. And so you trust him. And it's through those baby steps of obedience to what God is putting right in front of you that you begin to leave a legacy for your family. Amen? Let's pray. God, I just lift up those right now who know they have not taken your name seriously. God, they're reevaluating their own language and how they use your name. And God, they are feeling convicted by your Spirit, and they're saying they want to make a change. So if that's you right now, if you're here and you're thinking, wow, I never knew God's name should be taken so seriously, and I am totally guilty of that, but I want to change, and I need God's help. If that's you, that you want to change and want some prayer for that, would you just raise your hand? With everyone else's eyes closed, would you just raise your hand so I can pray for you? Great, yeah, I see you. Other people, yeah, great, I see your hands. A little higher so I can see you guys. Great, thank you. Yes, I'll pray for you guys. Great, thank you. Let me just pray for you guys right now. God, I thank you that your word is so clear for us. And Lord, these people who just raised their hand, it's not just about their mouths, but they want their hearts to be changed, Lord. So I pray that their language and how they speak of you would totally change. That they would take your name seriously. That they would use your name hopefully. That they would use your name truthfully, Lord. And that as they begin to speak to you as your name deserves, that their hearts follow suit, Lord. God, we thank you that this is a huge thing because their hearts will follow. And as they respect your name and their families, God, you will be respected in not only their hearts, but their families' hearts as well. So God, pray for them. And God, when they blow it, pray they'd be quick to recognize it, bring it to you, ask for forgiveness, and keep going, Lord. Thank you. And so we just pray, Lord, that we would be people who speak of you well, and that it would infect our whole family. In your good name we pray. Amen. Amen.